And we are live for the 158th episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I'm your host, Matt Lozuini. Tonight, it's Andrew, G, and I. Boys, how are we doing?
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, nothing much. Just another day, another strange, interesting, discouraging Brian Cashman comment about our team. Hal Steinbrenner standing by his guy. Guys, no more cussing on this podcast. The thing is, the Yankees do not cuss. We make bad signings. We sign domestic abusers, but we do not cuss. So that's just a thing. That's where the Yankees draw the line, is cussing.
Right?
We don't like cussing.
We still don't allow beards either.
We don't allow cussing. We don't allow beards, but, you know, other things we allow. But anyways, yeah, today, you know, a few things, different things to cover. Like I said, obviously the comments Brian Cashman made about the team in general, specifically Giancarlo Stanton, a certain left-handed young slugger might be getting traded, or according to Buster only, 100% chance getting traded. We'll talk about that. We did our trash and take 'em result. We'll go over those results. Talk the labor. Gerrit Cole just was recording this at 9 o'clock Wednesday night. Gerrit Cole won the Cy Young, first career Cy Young. Congrats to him. Should be his second. He got one robbed from him when he was in Houston. But, you know, as depressing as it was that he didn't get to pitch in October this year, I mean, you know, I believe he got all 30 first place votes. I mean, great for him. Snell was the NL Cy Young winner. I believe he got 28 of 30 first place votes. So, yeah, lots to get to, but let's start with the big name. Let's start with Juan Soto. The Padres, it's been a lot in the news how the Padres are in debt. They, you know, they had to take out a loan. They're not in, you know, great financial situations, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, they're going to have to make some financial moves. And a lot of guys like Bogarts and Tatis and Machado have no trade clauses or just got there and probably aren't going to be able to be easily moved. However, Juan Soto only has 1 year, $30 million left on that deal next year before he's a free agent. He would be most likely a rental. Obviously, you probably could convince yourself that you could sign him long term. But at a certain point, look, I think this is a move that the Yankees have to at least do their due diligence and at least attempt to offer the best package they can possibly get. I mean, this is a guy, I've said it before, like, that's a guy that was made for Yankee Stadium, was made to play for the Yankees, right? We always talk about the lack of left-handed bats. And look, in an off season where, I mean, the offensive bats are just, they're brutal. I mean, we have a guy who literally was one of the worst hitters in baseball for 2 years in a row, and he had a good season, and all of a sudden he's a top three, top five bat on the free agent market. So I think, like I said, this is a move now that Juan Soto, it's sounding like he will. It's not a matter of if he's going to get traded. It's just when he's going to get traded, to who he's going to get traded to. Cubs and the Mariners were two teams that got mentioned. But, guys, I mean, Juan Soto, there's really not much else to say other than Juan Soto and how much he would ignite this Yankee lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, you don't have to be like, oh, the Yankees should definitely go get him. Like, they definitely should go get him. And I think there's some interesting things at play also. Before we get too far into this, like, the machinations of it, it's worth noting that, you know, the Padres owner did pass away this week, Peter Seidler. So that is definitely sad. And I guess back into the actual machinations of it, Michael Kay was saying on the show, because he's at least, you know, I guess tangentially plugged into, you know, but like, you know, he was sick, and he was sick for a few years. You know, you could tell by photos, it looks like he'd lost a lot of weight over time, but he was kind of saying, or people were speculating, that he was like throwing a lot of money into the team, right? We had seen the team spend like crazy over the last couple of years, and now we hear more recently that they had to take out a loan to cover the payroll. So it seems like they're under a lot of pressure to cut the cost. And, you know, like Buster Olney was saying, thinks there's 100% chance he gets traded. So, I mean, Brian Cashman, whatever he's into these days, like, definitely has taken advantage of a situation. He took advantage of the Marlins situation to get Stanton for not very much cost. So, there's definitely an opportunity there if the Yankees want it, right? I mean, they haven't paid shit worth of attention to left field. And this is a guy who would, you know, sneeze and hit 25 home runs in Yankee Stadium. So, like, there's definitely an opportunity there. And there's some factors that the Yankees could, you know, could take advantage of.
I think there are a lot of things at play. And I will say, first off, obviously, the Stanton thing, in theory, it's a good point to make, but he'd already signed his extension with Miami. So it's not quite apples to apples in that regard. But there's a lot of balls in the air for the Padres. Like you mentioned, their owner just passed away, so they have to deal with that. The loan they took out, partially because they just committed so much money in the past three or four off seasons. In addition to the extension they just gave Manny Machado, only 4 years into his original 10-year deal. And they were a bad team, so they didn't have the ticket revenue. They didn't have the playoff shares. But, of course, they also have NL Cy Young winner Blake Snell coming off the books. Josh Hader also declined his qualifying offer for, like, $20 million. He's likely not going to be coming back. So those three guys, you're talking about, like, $60 million, $70 million coming off the payroll immediately. So do the Padres absolutely necessarily need to trade Juan Soto? I don't think they're that cash poor that they can't stomach his salary with Snell and Hader coming off, but that's neither here nor there. As far as how it relates to the Yankees, it screams it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And we can get into Cody Bellinger. Luigi mentioned that at the beginning. We'll get into that later in the show as well. But I could see the Yankees going in, probably giving up too much for a one-year rental. If they're not a playoff team next year, and I don't think him alone takes them over the top from an 82-win team to a playoff team, you have to go all in around him and then hope that he has so much fun playing in New York that he's willing to sign an extension. He's not going to do it in season. His agent is obviously Scott Boras, who 100% of the time will take a top player to the open market. There's no chance of him getting an extension. Unless the Yankees fork up like $42, $45 million per year average annual value. And they're not going to do that. Maybe that's where Soto's market ends after this upcoming season, but I just don't see the Yankees doing that. So it'll go to market. You're talking for sure. It's a one-year rental. And if the Yankees don't make the move, then we're going to have the entire fan base up in arms the same way we were about not going after Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Patrick Corbin, that offseason where we didn't really do much of anything except for trade for Brandon Drury, if I remember correctly. Yankees are in a tough spot because they don't need a finishing piece right now. And I wish we were closer to a championship caliber team where Juan Soto definitively puts you over the edge, but they have a lot of work to do. He certainly bridges a lot of the gap because left-handed power, young, controllable player for the future. If you ultimately extend him, obviously plays left field, a position they've neglected for years, but I don't know if adding him alone is a difference maker. They got to do a lot more other than just make that trade.
I agree. And like I've said before, like I was someone who said that I really don't think we should go all in for Ohtani because the Yankees are a lot further away than just adding Ohtani. However, I do think that with Juan Soto, that's a guy, like you said, left field. He's going to be 25 years old next season. So that's a guy that even if you can get him in the door next year for a year, you have to trust that, like you said, like he's going to love New York. And even if you're not like the greatest team, I think that's a guy, like I've said before, I'll say it 1,000 times, made for Yankee Stadium. He's a player that just is going to make your entire lineup better because he's not just a selfish hitter, right? He's a guy that has a 400 OBP almost every year. He's not a huge power guy, and like we've seen, he's not a great defender either, but at this point, a live guy, a live baseball player who has LF next to his position card is like, wow, we haven't went out and got one of a professional left fielder in years. Because like let's talk about transition to the Brian Cashman comments, what he said about Stanton, because I think that was very important. Now, it's something very obvious, and it was any Yankee fan said, well, yeah. And he basically said that, well, you just have to expect Stanton to get hurt at this point, and injuries are a part of his game. Now, saying injuries are a part of a guy's game is kind of an insane statement to make. You know, it's like saying, oh, this, a changeup or he has a 12-6 curve as a part of his repertoire, as a part of his game. Not a, oh, yeah, he gets hurt every 2 months as part of his game. Like, that's not, anyways, I think Cashman saying that, almost that's him, without saying it, acknowledging, hey, we may have to go out. We have to assume Stanton is going to be hurt. So that means we have to go out and get bats and get another DH. I'm not saying like a Rhys Hoskins. I mean, that would be great. But who knows? Maybe that means he's going to focus on the offense more. Because he literally said, well, we're going to assume Stan's hurt next year. We're going to assume he misses 50, 60 games, however many games he misses. So like I said, I think that's, you know, because we all know Cashman's never going to come out and just say something, right? He always has to be sneaky, ninja Cash. But I do think him just saying that about Stanton basically says, yeah, the guy that we were relying on to be, you know, the second best hitter on this team, we know we have to expect him to be hurt. So it's kind of a shitty situation, but because really, like, when you really sit back and think about it, it's like, yeah, this guy we made a trade for, we committed to all this money to him, right? We took over his contract, and yeah, now we have 4 years left on his deal, and injuries are a part of his game. We expect him to be injured, you know, almost half the time. So, like I said, but does that mean that, hey, we need to focus on offense more because our second best hitter, we're expecting him to miss a lot of time? I don't know. Hopefully, right? Hopefully.
You know, it's funny, since we mentioned Scott Boras, that day that Cashman did his whole thing, did say, you know, people were asking Scott Boras, like, about all his various clients, you know, and who they might be in play for. And, you know, they asked him about the Yankees, and he basically said, you know, I guess dangling a little something for, you know, basically said, like, why wouldn't the Yankees reward their fan base with New York Yankee conduct? Basically, you know, like, why wouldn't they spend, come be in play for my clients? Like, it was definitely funny, right? It's not a hugely big deal, but it's definitely funny.
No, the guy's good. He knows how to work the market, right? He knows how to bait the fan base as well as the front office.
Yankees are the punching bag of everyone right now. With those comments Cashman and Howe made, especially Cashman, I mean, everybody is just shitting on them, and rightfully so.
Yeah, but even so, we've never seen the Yankees act like the Yankees of the George Steinbrenner days, right? Like, we have the most money, and we don't give a fuck if you don't like that. We're going to spend all of it, and we're going to get the guy, and you're not. Now, they did that with Garrett Cole. Obviously, they gave the deal to Aaron Judge that, like, they were kind of screwing around and risking losing him to San Francisco for a minute. But they did come in with the last year and, you know, gave him what he wanted. But Scott Boras is effectively saying, hey, look, you guys are the Yankees. Start acting like it. I have clients who are going to make a shit ton of money, and you can pay them more than anyone else. So fork up. And obviously, it's good for him, too. He gets a cut of every deal that he signs. He gets the most money for his clients. He makes his entire agency look good. But yeah, I agree. It is a slight to the Yankees that, hey, look, I had all these other clients in the last 4 or 5 years, or whatever, and you didn't really show much interest in them. Interestingly enough, I don't know if it got mentioned. Apologies if I'm repeating this, but the whole Soto issue is complicated by the fact that he shares I know we're talking about Boras. Who is I did see something. But Stanton's agent, I thought they said shared an agent with someone else.
Stanton shares an agent with Yamamoto.
Yoshinobu, that's Yamamoto. What it was. That's what it was. Okay, so Stanton has the same agent as a prized free agent coming over from Japan.
And one that Cashman, like, personally scouted.
Right. So basically, it's not a good look for him to say, hey, look, we're already treating one of my clients like shit, spitting in his face, right? Like, he goes out and he wears the media attention. Every time he doesn't play well, he owns up to it. He's been great, even if he hasn't performed or been healthy the whole time. Do you really want to go there and get that same treatment? Yeah, it's messy. It's not good for the Yankees long term. Every time Cashman opens his mouth, he shoves his foot in.
See, I think
the agent, I just want to read the quote real quick by Joel Wolf. He said, I read the context of the entire interview. This is Stanton's agent after the Regent Cashman interview. I think it's a good reminder for all free agents considering signing in New York, both foreign and domestic, that to play for that team, you've got to be made of Teflon, both mentally and physically, because you can never let your guard down, even in the offseason. So,
which is obviously a tongue-in-cheek comment. Like, if injuries happen and right. people
like that, domestic and foreign, it's like, who's your big time agent or who's your big time guy this off season? Interesting. So yeah, that's but look, as a Yankee fan, it's like they deserve it, right? They deserve it. You can't act like Cashman and Howe. And let's just anytime we talk about the Yankees, like we are talking about, you know, 2016 till present day. Right. Like with 2015, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. 2016 to present day, you know, Cashman especially has really almost stuck his nose up at the rest of the league. He's thought he, you know, we always talk about the Chapman Glaber trade, like messed with his head. That was such a good trade. Credit to him. It was a lost year. He traded away Chapman to get Glaber, got him right back. Great move. Right. Awesome move. But that went to his head, and ever since then, he just thought he was so much smarter and better than everyone. And now obviously you have an 82-80 season, and you make those comments, and now everyone's just making you're like the punching bag of the league. You're the laughing stock of the MLB like owner meetings off season, and like I said, rightfully so. And until you prove it on the field, until you go out and get those top guys and start, like you said, Andrew, start acting like the Yankees. That's what people are going to do, and rightfully so.
And Hal has repeatedly said, like, you know, you don't necessarily, I don't think you necessarily need to commit to a $300 million payroll. Like, I don't really care about that because the Yankees payroll was like, what, $291 million or something? Like, it's basically there. So I don't care that he's saying, you know, I don't think he's saying I wouldn't spend another $8 million, but I don't think he's necessarily wanting to commit to being like, our payroll is definitely going to be $300 million every year. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but like the Cashman situation is maybe more frequently strange or problematic now, but like we all know the Derek Jeter situation and like the clip he went on a podcast, you know, when his free agency was, what, it was 2012 or 2014, like where he said straight up, like, I'm not going anywhere. Don't make it public. And then he's like, and then the front office made it public. And that's Derek Jeter. You know, that's Derek Jeter. And if they're going to basically go to Derek Jeter and be like, hey, go fuck yourself. Like, the man doesn't care. And Brian, you know, Michael Kay was basically saying this. He's like, you know, he's a smart guy, but he's been basically at the top of the world in the, you know, the media capital and all this stuff, the, you know, the concrete jungle, whatever, for 30 years now. Like, he probably does think he can say whatever the fuck he wants. And it's not good. You like to think that at least has the tact to be like, hey, you know what? This Giancarlo Stanton handles his business. He's quiet. He talks to the media, right? He gets hurt a lot, whatever, but like he's professional. But maybe I should take note of the fact that I went to all the way to Japan to scout Yamamoto, and this player that I seems to really be interested in signing shares an agent with that guy that I basically just dragged through the mud. It's
well, you could tell just how arrogant he was. In the comments we talked about in the last podcast, right? He immediately came out and said, I think we're pretty fucking good. It was going on and on about how good the analytics and the front office is. And it's at a point where he's just like, how dare you tell me that I'm wrong? How dare you think you know better than me? And that level of arrogance permeates to everything he does, right? The way he talks about his current players, the way he treats prospective free agents. It's not good. Now, maybe he surprises us and has a big offseason and gets the team right back on track. That would be best case scenario. But his attitude, it supersedes whatever his abilities still are. And I don't know. It's very uncomfortable. And it's not a good spot to be in going into an offseason that's very critical to us either falling into the dumpster of the league and having a stretch of bad years or bouncing right back and saying, 2023 was an aberration. We're still the Yankees. We can still compete for championships.
I would say that he either is super blindly arrogant by what he has achieved to this point in his career, or he is aware that things are bad and is pretty much the worst communicator on earth at conveying that. And I mean, obviously option two is better than option one, because at that point you at least knows that something is wrong. But like, if I was Hal Steinbrenner, we spoke earlier that day, and I came out of that at least loosely somewhat hopeful that, like, hey, Hal knows that there's an issue, and him saying things like a winning record isn't something to pat yourself on the back for, it's a requirement, like, and you know, other things that he said. I was like, okay, you know, that's, and then Cashman spoke later that afternoon and basically ruined all my mild hope that I had. Like, but I would just be like, dude, how are we going to spend $290 million for an 82-win team? Like, what are you spending my money on, right? I'm not even worried about $300 million at that point. I'd be like, why don't we cut $100 million off the payroll if you want to win 82 games? Like,
We've gone over it so many times. Right? The $290 million. Look, you had $25 million to Donaldson, right? $25 million to Stanton. $25 million to Rodon, who didn't play half the year, right? Like, there was, at like certain points, you had anywhere from $80 to $130 million on the IL, right? Like, it was like, you had like, so you're like, oh, this is a, you know, you talk about a $290 million payroll team. It's like, well, the team out there right now is actually $150 million because Jake Bowers and Willie Calhoun are making a combined $2 million. So, you know, it was tough. But like I said, this year, right, this offseason, being with Cashman, what Cashman said about Stanton, guess what? We can't have Stanton's, if Stanton's out in April 24th and Stanton has like a, you know, broken bone in his foot or something or whatever, and he's out for the next 4 weeks at least, Willie Calhoun off waivers can't be the replacement. Jake Bowers or Billy McKinney up from minors can't be the replacement. We need a major league hitter, a proven major league hitter as a replacement, like a Hunter Renfro, Adam Duvall type. You know, like, those guys aren't going to light the world on fire. But, hey, those guys, if you get one of a guy like that in your lineup, you know, you've seen that they've hit 25, 30 home runs in a season. They've had 30, 90 seasons before. That's what you need. But the Yankees are having guys in there that, like, Jake Bowers had his best season of his career. He had to get, like, 13 home runs with a .220 average because that's his ceiling. That's a guy like that ceiling. He's a 4A player.
So, listen, this is kind of – this is where I'm very on the edge of saying I don't want the big fish, Soto, Bellinger, those type of guys, for that very reason, because you can't put all of your eggs in a very fragile basket, right? And have the whole house of cards collapse on you. Sorry, that was way too many metaphors in one quick burst there. But to your point, right, I would love a lineup that, or not even a starting nine, but a full 26-man roster, with the depth of guys like a Kevin Kiermaier and a Jorge Soler and a Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Like, one guy goes down, you have another guy who can step right in, not Billy McKinney coming in, not Willie Calhoun, not Greg Allen type players, right? We can't survive with that. And I get when the team is fully healthy and they're all locked in, is the ceiling 95 to 100 wins? Absolutely. I still think the talent, the high-end talent on the roster at full health can get you to the playoffs. But we know that's not a realistic situation, and you have to have a fallback plan. The fallback plan isn't, well, we got a bunch of has-beens, guys who've been around who can play. You know, those guys like the Billy McKinney's, the Jake Bowers, they're good if a guy goes down for a week, you need to cover 5 to 7 games, fine. They can't be playing 40, 50 games as a starter. Come off the bench, fine. Cannot be getting that many starts from league average or below level guys. And that's kind of where I think getting a $30 million Juan Soto rental for the year or giving $30 million a year to Cody Bellinger is going to hamstring the depth. That's where the Yankees really have to toe the line this offseason, because do you care more about high-end talent or do you care more about having the ability to withstand the adversity and the injuries of a 162-game marathon?
Jake Bowers played 85 games this year, so... Yeah, I mean, look, I would definitely want Juan Soto, but, like, I also think that to a degree there's, like, a, you know, they go get him and it'd be like a, there, we did it, now shut up kind of quality to it, whereas, like, you know.
Seen that before.
You know, they don't have no young talent. They don't have enough high-end young talent. So, like, if you were running out of roster this year that had, you know, the lineup of basically September where it was, like, all the 6 or 5 young players was like Pereira, Peraza, Cabrera, Austin Wells, et cetera. Then you're like, all right, well, then they're kind of starting over and wasting Judge and Cole and et cetera. Like you should try and find ways to mix those guys in, but like you should go get those guys like the Kiermaiers and the Lourdes Gurriels. Like if Juan Soto falls into your lap for pennies, then that's great. But like, Scott Boras, you know, you're still going to have to pay him like $415 million next year, whatever. Like, but otherwise, I'm definitely more inclined to, you know, to go that depth route. I am a little curious about Cashman's ability to pull that off, because we've seen him have the up, like, not even to get Bryce Harper, et cetera, just to get guys, right? And it's like, no, I'm going to go with, like, the retread, the high, like, potentially like high upside retread that also has, like, a floor that's, you know, at the bottom of a well.
Injury,
like,
history, yeah.
It's like, hey, this it's works, like, out.
People be always great. Say, too obvious for, like, Cashman. That's a too obvious move, you know? You can't make it. It's like, oh, that, look at that guy. That's the best free agent. Oh, Cashman, no, I have to make a sneaky move for a lower B-level guy that I'm going, like, to turn into a higher B-level guy. It's like, dude.
Ninja Cash, remember that?
Yeah, Ninja Cash. Didi Gregorius. Like, oh, look at Cash. He did it again.
I love Didi Gregorius so much. He hit on Didi Gregorius and Aaron Hicks for, you know, what it was, like 3 years, 2 years. And got, like, hooked on the rush of being like, we're plucking this guy out of obscurity and chasing, turning him into, dragon. Like,
2019 was the worst thing that happened to this team long term.
Yep.
Because he pulled Cameron Maben off the streets. He got Gio Urshela, Mike, right, Tauchman. All these guys played awesome, right? And Cashman was Luke convinced Boyd. That I can spot talent that nobody else sees. We could plug him into our team, get him a couple of weeks of coaching, bring him up to the majors, and they'll be all stars. Like, that doesn't happen. If it happens once, like, or twice,
we don't need the Freddie Freemans. We don't need the Manny Machados and Freddie Freemans. We have Gio Urshela and Luke Voigt.
Corey Seager, you know? Like, who the hell needs that guy? Let's get Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
So with that being said about, you know, going over some of the stars of the Yankees roster, Andrew, why don't you take us into our take 'em trash 'em we did through BBB, through Twitter. We got a good amount of votes and got a good amount of data.
Yeah, so I'm just going to quickly go through high level the process, some of the key results, and then obviously you guys jump in with. We're just going to have to have discussion on how we feel about the results. If there's certain players that stand out that we agree or don't disagree with the group poll. So posted this to all of our socials. Thank you to everyone who contributed. We got like 50 or so responses. Basically, it was very, very easy, right? Do you want the player next year or do you not? Take them or trash them. We had six players, let me see if I'm counting that correctly. Sorry, we had five players score a perfect 100 in terms of take them. And they're the no-brainers. Anthony Volpe, Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge, Jason Dominguez, and Michael King. We had a couple other players who just missed it, were in the high 90s. Austin Wells, DJ LeMahieu, which surprised me. Clark Schmidt, Clay Holmes, and Nestor Cortez. At the bottom of the list, you know, predictably, Franchi Cordero, Domingo Germán, who already has been terminated.
I was going to say, some of these players have already been trashed.
Yeah. Luis Severino, which is interesting because how much our fan base is attached to him and how bad he was as a free agent. Ryan Weber, Billy McKinney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Jake Bowers, Albert Abreu, Ben Wardvet, all scored at the bottom. So there's really not a ton of surprises. I will say, looking through the list, Giancarlo Stanton got 35% take, 65% trash. Predictably, the fan base is going to be mad at him. And obviously, the injury concerns, he had a terrible 2023 season. I get that. I think I personally voted to trash him too, but realistically, you know, they can't move him. No one's taking on that contract. Yeah, Gleyber Torres.
Him and Rodon both. It's like, trash him. It's like, look, like, we can't. I would love, like, it would be great to not have bad players like that, but yeah, they're not going anywhere. It's unrealistic. But I get people just voting trash him. It makes sense.
Yeah, there's some interesting players we're going to talk about later on the podcast today. Anthony Rizzo scored 75%. Keep Gleyber Torres is going to be a hot button player all offseason until the Yankees either extend him, do nothing with him, or trade him. Scored about 64% take. And then, interestingly enough, a guy like Ian Hamilton had a really good offseason, really good season, you know, off the street, 85%. Jonathan Loaisiga was hurt the whole year, still scored 85%. And then everyone else was pretty much in the 40 to 60% range, mixed bag. You know, some people like them, some people don't like them. So guys, I do want to ask, like, are there any players? I did post the graphic. I could share with you while we're on live here, the full data set. But are there any names that really stood out as, like, I'm very surprised that my own opinion about this player didn't align to the group poll?
I know he had a hot end to the year, but I'm surprised DJ was as high as he was. You know, because, look, like I said, he had that nice 3-4 week stretch where he looked like kind of the old DJ. But, I mean, overall, he still kind of had a very average year. And, yeah, that's surprising for a guy. Obviously, there's another guy who, you know, 3 years left, has a no trade clause. So it's really like, you, if you wanted to trash him, you really couldn't. But just from a fan perspective of like, do you want to see him on the team next year? I am surprised DJ got that high. Randy Vasquez as well got pretty high.
Right?
Yeah, he was one of the highest. I think he was like the next guy after the 100% guy. Yeah. So, yeah. Jose Trevino was higher than I expected. He had a pretty bad year. I know he obviously platinum glove, likable guy, but yeah, that Frankie Montas was still low, but not low enough. You know, I don't know why anyone would want him back. Like I said, maybe you're just the fact that he was like, you know, the whole like, oh, he's going to pitch at the end of the year. You're just like, my God, this, what bizarre world bullshit is this? IKF way, very low. That wasn't deserved. Like I always said about IKF, great guy to have on your bench. Could play any position. Good clubhouse guy. I wouldn't mind having him back on a little team friendly deal. No, you know, obviously assuming he'd be a bench guy, not a stopgap shortstop. Deja vu, PTSD. Yep. The fact that like, well, I've, like a few people did vote to keep Domingo Herman. Just, no, hopefully no one in our blog. Hopefully no one I interact with, but. I don't know what was going on there, but yeah, I did pretty expected though. Like I said, guys like Rodon, guys like DJ, you really couldn't even trash me if you want. But yeah, like I said, just when you see all the red and you see all like the like, you realize like, yeah, man, this roster, like you said, Andrew, it needs a lot. It's not just like a quick patch up fix. But at the same time, it's a lot easier to attempt a quick patch up fix than to completely reconstruct a roster, right? To complete, you know, to go in the foundation and, you know, replace 7, 8, 10, 12 guys, however many guys. It's not easy. And I mean, we've seen
some of these results.
Brian Cashman in the last few years has not shown high baseball knowledge. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough to have confidence.
I do wonder with a lot of these results, how much everyone who participated took into effect their current contract situation, right? So there's a lot of pending free agents or redundancies, right? Like,
yeah,
Kyle Higashioka scored 25% take, 75% dump. And we have six catchers, I think, on the 40-man roster after they elevated the player, the double A guy they elevated, his name escapes me right now, but like, and then Austin Wells on the other end of it scoring 95% take. Like, I'm not sold on him. I really want him to be good, but
yeah,
he showed some pop last year. He you know, came up, had the attitude, proudly wore that mustache, everything. The vibes were good, right? But his OPS was under 700. Like, I get, you know, small sample size, limited at-bats, his first year in the bigs. But I'm surprised he didn't score more 50-50 because the Yankees, like, they need to figure out the catcher situation. And if Trevino is going to be healthy next year and return back to where he is, then fine. He's the guy. I can live with that. But if not, then what are we doing?
Every other,
I think Wells got that high
player.
Sorry, G, what was it?
Every other non-Volpe young player was more in the middle. There's players on here that I was just a little confused, I guess, that like, I'm like, why are we keeping Greg Weissert? Like, it's not super consequential, but like, why are we keeping Rod Marinaccio? Because he had 10 good games to it like a year and a half ago. Like, you can't just keep everyone, right? You can't get rid of Giancarlo Stanton because you have to get his 4 years and $98 million onto someone else. But, like, you know, it may not be easy to replace them, but you can't just keep everyone because then at some point you're just running back the same garbage team. Like,
yeah, and the kids with options, I don't care about, right? If you want to keep
them, no, the system, I mean, like,
walking on the major league roster, right? Like
we know Brian Cashman
scored like 2/3 keep. That's fine. He's not going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, like, Greg Weissert's probably going to be around, but, like, am I prioritizing keeping him around? No, I mean, like, I don't know. Anyway, like, I asked in the chat anyway. I didn't see Nestor Cortez on there, but I would definitely be curious about his because I think I was maybe, I've definitely been vocal about it in our chat, but I thought they should have traded him last year, which I know is an unpopular opinion because he's definitely a vibes kind of guy. I just didn't think that, like, a journeyman 29-year-old who just became a starter was going to repeat pitching to a 2 ERA, and then he got hurt three different times this year. So, a guy like...
Yes, Sorry, let me share the chat with you. There's 42 rows of players on this, so it looks like it kind of cropped it off. Yeah. Nestor scored a 90% keep. So you'll see that here. And again, predictably so, he was awesome in 2022. Even 2021 when he came up. Got inserted into the rotation in the middle of the year. But yeah, like he had a career high in innings in 2022, and it showed it this past season, was injured again, was ineffective at times. The whole quirky thing that he does, like that was always part of his game, right? He didn't have blow you away stuff. He just had enough of a variation in his pace and delivery, right, to catch you off guard and take advantage of that. There's a lot of weird players on the Yankees in terms of, like, they're not superstars, but they're not so bad that they're easy cuts either. And for a team that really needs to add 10 to 15 wins this offseason, it's an awkward spot to be.
Maybe it's me.
Just look at it. Go on, Jay.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, we've all had some version of this conversation. Like, I think at some point we need to, like, raise our standards a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you can like a player. Calm down, Jay. No, I mean,
I think we're pretty fucking good, Jay. Okay. I think we're pretty good. No, yeah, I'm just looking at this list. I'm just seeing guys like Scott Efros and Luis Gil over Stanton. That's Esteban Florea. And I'm just like, man, like, what universe am I in that Scott Efros and Ian Hamilton and Luis Gil and Johnny Brito are more wanted than Giancarlo Stanton? It's just crazy to me. I mean,
Luis Severino, like I said, was like almost unanimous trash. Like, oh, he was up there. Comparable percentage to Domingo Herman, who's already been trashed. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Right,
I don't know.
He was right there with Ryan Weber and Franchi Cordero.
Dude, like, I don't know. I don't think the bullpen was necessarily the problem. But there's a lot of...
It's the best bullpen just, in baseball. Definitely.
There's a lot of just a guy guys out there in the bullpen. Not their biggest problem. Biggest problem was that they had Judge and literally a bunch of guys in their lineup, and that's where I mean we could talk about Gleyber Torres now if you want, but like there's some of the stuff about like contract. I think it was a situation by situation. Like if you can keep Nestor and have him be your fourth starter and have him make pennies, then sure. But like fast forward a year or two, if he's asking for a lot more money, I'd be like, okay, goodbye. Like.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a lot of guys just they're good players, but are they worth what they want, right? And that's the situation. No, I mean, with Gleyber. Something else I wanted to mention, Carlos Mendoza to the Mets. So
cool.
Right? We got teams poaching our guys. Cash God strikes again. Am I right, guys? Cash the God.
I mean, right? I don't think the Yankees are going to
What's more important, winning championships or having your bench coach get poached from the Mets and showing how great of an organization you are, that your bench coach is now a manager? See, these are the things that...
tremendously difference-making bench coach? I don't know. But, like, are the Yankees going to stand on it and be like, we're not allowing you to seek out a promotion? Like, that's going to hurt them in the long run, I would say, hypothetically. Yeah.
God, you know.
You want to, like, well, I don't know. We're pretty fucking good. This is a funny line that I'm about to say. If you want to, like, attract high-end talent, you have to treat the talent that you have pretty well, I would imagine.
It's a novel concept, I know.
Yeah.
It matters really fucking staff. The players can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. So, obviously, we didn't do the coaching staff at the front office, by the time we were taking results, they'd already said they're going to bring everyone back. Obviously, Mendoza, you just mentioned, took the job at the Mets, but the plan was for him to do the bench coach again this year without any other changes. We mentioned Sean Casey on a couple podcasts ago, decided not to return. I think he cited he wanted to spend more time with his family, but like ultimately, he didn't really make any much of an improvement over Dylan Lawson.
Politely saying this team sucks.
No, there are so many... there's like, look, there could be, you know, hopefully there's nothing serious, you know, personally going on with this family, but I saw so many funny jokes about like people being like, yeah, Sean Casey was like, sayonara. It's like, hey, Sean, we really need you to like, they're probably like, hey, Sean, we really need you to give G a call and, you know, make sure he's doing his hitting drills. And he's probably like, yeah, I'm not doing that shit, man. This guy could barely run. This guy could barely walk. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'll see you guys. But the Yankees do have a new hitting coach, Andrew. We think we're pronouncing his name right. Let's see. Rosen. J-Row, right? They're going to call him J-Row. Boone will probably call him Rowie, right? Rowie's teaching the guys, right? We're getting ready for it. So, new hitting coach. Are the Yankees back? Are Stanton returning to his MVP form? Rizzo back? Rizzo hopefully not concussed. Thoughts?
James Rosen, Aaron Judge guy, James Rosen.
J-Row. It's J-Row. Come on, Rowie.
I would sooner call him Rowie. Yeah, I thought it was Rowie. It was notable. It was, they were talking pretty immediately how they said he had a good relationship with Aaron Judge. And I think we've heard at least some consistent rumblings of Judge and Hal Steinbrenner being a thing and being in communication about things. So I don't know if it was like a, I want to go get a guy we're familiar with, and this is a guy that Judge advocated for, but I also personally have never put a tremendously great stock in any one hitting coach. The Yankees have turned over hitting coaches the last like 5 or 6 years a lot anyway, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. Rosen was a minor league hitting coordinator for a long time when the Baby Bombers were coming up, then left to take the hitting coach job with the Minnesota Twins, was there when they set the single season home run record. Again, juiced ball, I get it, right? And then moved on to the Marlins for a few years after that. But it is interesting, Luigi, you pointed out that Judge and Steinbrenner were having their little chit chat, and Judge's comments about the certain statistics or analytics that aren't being emphasized enough came out immediately after Cashman's rant about how we think we're doing things the right way. We have the right people in place. We like our analytics department. And to me, that screamed Aaron Judge saying, hey, guess what? Batting average still fucking matters. Things like RBIs and getting on base and moving guys over still matter. You can't be all exit velocity and all launch angle and all expected batting average. Again, those predictive stats, I'm not a big fan of them, but not because I don't think they have any worth, but they're only predictive stats. If the actual results don't mirror what the stats, the analytics predict, then what is the value of them, right? Again, teams like the Tampa Bay Rays use them very well. Well, this guy's launch angle dictates that he's going to have a 20% uptick in his OPS next year. And then it actually happens because they know how to use that data and find the players that align with it better than us. And I think Judge is kind of like, we need to go back to basics here. And I will say, as far as Judge having his, you know, with being able to whisper into the ear of the owner, I do kind of like it, because if Steinbrenner and Cashman and everyone else in the front office waste away the remaining prime years of Judge and Cole, and we get nothing out of it, that's going to feel so deflating. But at least if Aaron Judge is pushing a little bit, you know, turning some knobs and at least having an influence, then if it doesn't work out, then at least we gave him full autonomy to try and get involved and work things while he's still in the prime of his career. I'll feel a little better if we fail in that case. I don't want to put that in the universe, although I guess I just did.
He should give it. Press. He's got a contract. What are they going to do? Fire him for Brian Cashman? Like, he should press the issue and press the attack. Like, and also, I think, well, this is a side, Brian Cashman, in his various rantings and ravings, he said, it's no secret we have the smallest analytics department in the American League.
The division.
So, yep, phone call. Sorry, y'all. So he said they have the smallest analytics department in the division, which it's funny, right? If he was trying to be like, oh, well, we're analytically run or we're slave to the analytics, which, like, oh, you think we are? Well, joke's on you guys. We're not. We're not doing analytics at all. Like, so it's one problem or the other, I guess. It, I don't know. It's just a funny thing. We're all thinking that they're, like, you know, noses in a book all the time, trying to figure out why their players aren't hitting well when they have bad players. Like, maybe they're not doing enough.
We're not. Like, I don't know. We're not doing shit in there. We're just watching shows. We're just hanging out.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just thought that
jokes was a on you guys. You think we're addicted to analytics, but we're really not. Ha ha.
So we don't do them at all. Jokes on you guys. Yeah. Like
analytics.
What's that?
Yeah. Anyway, Judge should definitely throw the weight around. I wish Gerrit Cole would do it too. Honestly, Gerrit Cole's smarter than all these dudes. But like,
I will say about Gerrit Cole though is that based on, you know, the Yankees put out a nice video after he was awarded Cy Young with a bunch of current players, coaches, former players, all weighing in and giving him props. And a lot of the current players, Trevino, Higashioka, even Ben Wordfett, right, Clark Schmidt, they all talked about how Cole's a leader and how what he does off the field in preparation is just as impactful as what he does on the field. And clearly he's the best pitcher in the American League this year. So I don't mind him not being vocal about players they need to go after, about certain data things they need to focus on. He's a leader by example, and that's his role, and that's fine.
Starting pitchers are almost like, you know, they're almost like golfers or tennis players. Like, they're their own athletes. You know, they have like their own routine. They have their own, like I said, Cole's a guy that, like, that man just, even on, right, let's say he pitches on a Friday, it's a Wednesday night, he probably just goes home and watches the game of the team he's going to be facing Friday, right? Or just watches, is like looking at his scrapbook of matchups and like, oh man, my you know, my changeup was kind of off today, what was I doing around? That's the type of guy Cole is. Like, he's the definition of just leading by example. And, you know, I'm sure Judge is like that too. We've talked about maybe Judge needs to be a bit more vocal, but, you know, with Judge being the captain, I mean, hey, if you're the captain, if whether it's whatever sport it is, right, if you're like that guy, that franchise, you know, changing guy, that LeBron James, that, like, you know, whoever, that, you know, the star quarterback, you know, Mahomes, you're going to have a say. If your team is like, hey, we're going to make a big trade, you're going to let your star know, right? You're going to let your franchise guy who you've committed millions and millions of dollars to know. So, yeah, it's almost, if Judge wasn't in these meetings, you'd be like, yeah, why the fuck isn't Judge, like, you know, and in these, any of these meetings? He should be. He's on the field. He's the captain. He's going to be here, you know, the most likely the rest of his career. Yeah, he should be, have a say. He should be in Hal and Cash's ear about who the Yankees sign, who they should go after, and what type of players they should go after, right? And especially Judge has been around the league more, right? These guys know what, you know, the type of players they want on their teams. You know, they hear things about good clubhouse guys and, you know, guys that just do all the right things on the field. That's the, those are the types of players the Yankees need. And like I said, Judge definitely needs to be. When I heard the comment from Hal that he said Judge and I talked about it, and I'm like, you know, you're talking about Judge like he was like the assistant VP, right? You're talking about Judge like he was in the front office. Like, no, it's, that's just your captain. But like I said, I think that's a great sign and it's expected. So
I think if anything, it's just because it's not necessarily the captaincy that, like, Derek Jeter had, because Jeter didn't air his business to the public, and they weren't also winning 82 right. games. And a little, you know, different. Super disappointing.
Jeter had, yeah, whatever, Jeter also, like, had a few rings already, and there was like a much less sense of urgency. You know, Jeter by the time his sixth year had like four championships. So
yeah, and different. I think if anything, it's just like, you know, they clearly, you know, regardless of what that dope Aaron Boone says, the league is catching up to us. Like, they've been caught, they've been lapped, right? They need to change something. So I'm certainly on board with Judge. Even if we don't hear about it, you're in the building, right? You're the captain. Throw your weight around, like, by all means. Whether, and that was also something that's been speculated, right? It's like, is Cashman arrogantly just saying, like, I'm the man, fuck you guys? Is he feeling the heat from Hal, from other parties, from wherever? Is he just insane now? Like, and it's, I don't know, it's a worth, I don't know, it's just an interesting thing. Like, we don't know why the man does what he does, but, like, it's an interesting possible scenarios here.
Brian Cashman, the most interesting man in New York. But guys, I think that's any final thoughts? I think that's pretty much all we got tonight. We're almost about 50 minutes.
We want to punt on that one.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the Glaber, like we've talked about Glaber a lot this offseason. There's really, you know, we've talked about how we don't think he's going to be worth what he's going to want to be paid, right? But at this point, he's only, you know, he's a 1 year, if you wanted to make a trade, he's only a 1 year rental. The time to trade him was probably when he was hitting well in the summer, right? So I don't know. You guys want to add anything? Because that's kind of like all I have to say about Glaber.
No, the only thing that came out as far as trade rumors, you know, I don't know if it's active. It definitely was in play last summer, like you mentioned, was the Yankees had talks with the Red Sox of all teams about a Verdugo for Gleyber Torres, which is just so chaotic and wild. Like, would Verdugo have made sense for our lineup? Plays left field, hits left-handed. Yeah. Is he an upgrade? Probably not. And I think he's the same contract situation as Gleyber. Like, they're both free agents after this year. So, like, what does that net you long-term? Verdugo famously a part of the Mookie Betts deal. So actually, if he came over, well, I guess he had the same service time as Gleyber did from his time in LA, right? So I don't know. That was a very weird rumor that came out. But again, the Yankees, there's going to be so much talk about the Yankees extending him. The Yankees, and I said about Juan Soto at the beginning of this podcast, the Yankees don't do in-season extensions. It's certainly not with players 1 year away from free agency. The whole thing with Seve and Hicks was an aberration. Cashman got burned on both those. He's never doing that again. They're not going to extend Gleyber Torres this winter. They're either going to trade him or they're going to let him play out the string and then try to either retain him next offseason when he's a free agent or let him walk at that point. This whole idea that they're going to do like a 5-year, $120 million contract in the next 5 or 6 weeks, again, egg all over my face and I'm wrong about this, but I just don't see a world where that happens.
I mean, there's plenty more we can talk about it as the offseason unfolds. The whole Gleyber situation, I think, is more just like a, you know, what you pay for what you get kind of scenario, right? At the $9 million he made this year, it's one conversation. If you extend him and he makes 20 to 25, whatever he might be making, totally different. And, you know, there's plenty more speculation and all that kind of stuff. You know, if they traded him, I wouldn't be super surprised. But it's, you know, it's TBD. Also, completely unrelated, the non-tender deadline is Friday. So there could be some more Trashams on the way.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. Like I said, right now, off-season, we're pretty much on an episode-per-episode basis. Something big happens. We'll probably be recording that day. But, you know,
anytime Brian Cashman opens his mouth, essentially.
Right. I mean, next week is, you know, obviously next Thursday is Thanksgiving. So a lot of times you really don't hear like a lot during like a holiday weekend like that. You know, I mean, most GMs are not really making trades. But, you know, maybe that weekend, maybe next week. A lot of times December is the month where
winter meetings is right after.
Right. Well, they had the meetings. They had to like cancel them earlier. There was some stomach virus that was going around.
The GM meetings were 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and a bunch of people were getting sick. So they actually.
I think Cashman definitely planted some shit in everyone's food, some laxatives to get everyone.
Brian Cashman, like, the gift that keeps on giving.
Grilled.
We had an excuse for why. Oh, we had a trade lined up with Arizona or something, but it fell through because they canceled it. He had no intention of doing anything that week.
Well. Before we talk any more about Brian Cashman or Giancarlo Stanton, this is the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast and presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. For Luigi, for Andrew, for G. We'll see you guys next time.